And good morning, Sandpoint. Welcome to the KRFY Morning Show for Wednesday, July 13th. I'm one of your hosts here, Chris Bessler, and I'm in the studio today with my co-host.
And I'm Susie Prez. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I am too. And actually, it's a beautiful sunny morning out there.
It certainly is.
We have a great morning show for our listeners today. The subject is going to be parks and recreation. And we have with us the Parks and Recreation Director for Sandpoint, Kim Woodruff.
I appreciate the opportunity to come and share my passion. We have a lot of information to get out to our listeners today, so I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Kim, for coming in. And actually, there's so much stuff that goes on with Parks and Rec that we had a lot of stuff to talk about, so stay with us, folks. But before we get to the interview, let's talk a little bit about things going on around town, starting with the weather, Susie.
The weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, it's 64 degrees outside with a 30% chance of rain showers. That's only 30%. You know, I love those little light rains that we're having. Everyone loves that. We may have thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Mostly sunny after that with highs near 73 this day. Slight winds up to 10 miles per hour possible. And tonight, slight chance of thunderstorms. That's only 20% and low of 49. And tomorrow, it's just sunshine. High of 80 degrees, we're back to the 80-degree weather, and Thursday night, low of 51. And, you know, I think it looks about the same for through the weekend, 20 to 30% chance of precipitation.
Kind of this unsettled weather we're getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful clouds in the sky, yeah. But when the sun comes out, we all go, yay.
Yeah, and yeah. It's really pleasant out there, but it's not quite what we call summer around here. But I'll tell you what. I'll take this over last summer and those super hot, dry days we had that it amped up our fire danger.
This is great.
Yeah. Also going on outside, the lake level is at full pool now. That's 2062 feet. It's up just a 1/100th of a foot. It'll stay at full pool now, actually, until we get into fall. Stream flows have dropped precipitously from the big spring runoff. The Priest River is at 870 CFS. It's cubic feet per second. Moy River is down to just 209 cubic feet per second. Those are no longer whitewater runs, although you can do a nice float trip on the Priest River. The Priest River has some nice float trips, and I understand some people are doing really nice float trips on the Pack River right now with inner tubes and floatable things.
Where's the moon these days?
Well, the waxing moon is passing above Mars tomorrow and above Saturn on Friday. So if you look up in the sky, you'll see the moon. It's getting more bold, and it's above a couple of really bright stars, which are Mars and Saturn. So it's definitely worth checking out the skies at night. As for what else is going on around town, what are some of the big events coming up this week?
Well, you tell me, Chris.
Okay. The Schweitzer's having a big one. They're having a 2-day wine fest this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and they'll have 20 different regional wineries pouring a total of 80 wines. And there, of course, where there's wine, there's beer. There'll be a craft beer tent as well, a barbecue, arts and crafts vendors, activities for the whole family. And if you haven't been up to Schweitzer in the past season or two, it's definitely worth checking out. There's a ton of stuff to do up on the mountain now. They have a zip line. Of course, there's chairlift rides to take you up to the top of the mountain. They have a big bungee jump thing. Lots of fun stuff for kids to do. And I got to say, the mountain biking trails at Schweitzer for mountain bikers are really fine as well. So all that stuff is happening up at Schweitzer. Also up at Schweitzer on Saturday, another big event is the 5th annual Schweitzer Mountain Trail Run. That's for runners. They can either pick a 3.5-mile or 10-mile run that goes up on some of their trails there. If you're interested in doing a trail run, then get a hold of Schweitzer or go to smtrailrun.com to register for that. Another big thing happening tomorrow is the festival at Sandpoint is having their annual art unveiling at Dover Bay. Each year, the festival at Sandpoint, our summer music festival, has a has a poster artist, and the unveiling of the this year's poster art will be happening tomorrow at Dover Bay, and that's a fun event to go to.
Do you know who the artist was this year? Is this year?
I should.
Okay. We'll find out.
It's not coming to top of mind.
Another thing that's happening tomorrow evening, I just want to say this because these folks were on our show not too long ago. This is the Bonner Partners in Care Clinic is hosting a fundraiser at the McDuff's Beer Hall Thursday night, and that it starts at 5:30. It's really great to support this amazing organization that's reaching out to our citizens.
Our underserved people that are having trouble getting health care. It's a free health care clinic that's put on weekly, actually. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with that organization, you can go to BonnerPartnerInCareClinic.org or BPICC.org. And get information. They're doing great work for our community.
That's right. And we'll get to more of the community calendar, hopefully at the end of the show. If not, it's on our website at krfy.org.
Yeah, and all the details we can't get out over the air. There's a ton of things going on in town, as usual. News-wise, I thought I would throw out a shot about one noteworthy news item that came up over the past week, and that's the parking proposals that that Mayor Shelby Ronstadt put forward have been approved for the downtown, and that's going to really change up parking in the downtown. They're going to create some zones where you can park for 3 or 4 hours instead of just 2 hours. There's going to be more free parking available for downtown employees, and the hope is, of course, is to get the people that work downtown who park on the street and eat up the street parking to move off to the side and leave those parking spots available for the customers that come and the visitors that come and use our downtown.
Well, I think it's a great solution. It's a good start, and we'll see how it goes. You know, one thing, I was talking to one of the people that goes around and marks your car because you
were getting marked, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No? I didn't get a ticket because I'm really careful. I can't afford ticket after ticket, and I do work down here. I think when there's a rule and you just face the rule and you mind the rule, it just works. I like the thought of free parking for employees. That will help. A walk 5 blocks in is not a bad thing usually.
And actually, it's just from city parking lot. We're talking about less than 2 blocks.
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
But the one question I heard some people talking, how do you know if you're an employee who gets to be categorized as an employee?
No, it's free for everybody.
So it's free for everyone.
All day parking.
So it's first come, first serve.
In the city parking lot for anybody that wants to park there. And the goal is to push the downtown workers to use the parking lot more. And I will say this, along with all these, what we probably think are positive changes, there's going to be a much more strict enforcement of the scoff laws that have been getting ticket after ticket and not paying them. And I think that there's somebody out there that's got like over $10,000 worth of tickets the last few years. Mm-hmm. And if they get caught again parking in the downtown, they're going to get booted. That's that device they put around your wheel so you can't drive off. So that's heads up to everybody. They actually have a kind of an amnesty period where you won't have to pay as much of the penalty if you'll get caught up on past fines. But after this comes into effect, I'm not sure how far off that is. People will be getting booted if they have unpaid parking tickets.
I think once they get this whole thing set in place and it starts, I'm not sure what the start date is, I think we should have them, Shelby or someone, come in and talk to us. And so we get the lowdown. We really hear every detail.
Get the lowdown on parking. Yeah, you bet.
Okay.
And for today, let's get the lowdown on parks and recreation.
Okay. Kim, thanks again for Kim Woodruff, Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Sandpoint. Thanks so much for coming in today. We've had you in before, and I think it's really amazing how big the scope is of the department that you run and what it means, parks and recreation. So I think we'll just start out by trying to hear what that means. What is our parks and recreation? What is their scope of their...
I appreciate again the opportunity to come and share. I probably have the best job, and for me it's not just a job, it's a cause in town. In an overall sense, parks and recreation are what help you give our citizens options what to do in their free time. And, you know, you look at what leisure time is. Leisure time to me is time at your discretion. So we all need to eat, so you kind of need to work to eat. We all need shelter. So, you know, those are the two basics. But after that, the time, your leisure time, and that's where you're able to express who you are as an individual, where you can find happiness and challenge and excitement. And so those, it's a really a cool thing for me. It really truly is quality of life. And I look at myself as kind of a Peace Corps type job, living in a cool spot and making some okay money. So that's so I just really, really, truly am blessed. And every day I go to work and every day I play in Sandpoint, I look around and I'm very, very appreciative of what we have.
So I'm going to have to ask the really tough question here. Do we have a really pretty outrageous park system?
We have an outstanding park system. You know, I'm probably a little bit biased. But,
okay.
You know, but I think that, you know, if you go to...
For the record, that wasn't a tough question. That's a softball question.
We agree with you, by the way.
Softball lob. Yeah, well, just like for example, if you go to other towns that are population 7,000 or 8,000 people, you're not going to find a park system that rivals ours, not even close. But as a manager, it's interesting because, you know, parks and recreation is often... they're grouped together, but they're very, very different. And to manage, you know, we on our parks, it's more of the resource end. So our employees there are more resource based and, you know, facilities based. And then the recreation end of it is more of the people business. So, you know, as a manager, you have different personalities. You know, I have a recreation supervisor that works with us and a park supervisor, and they're very, very good at what they do. And the reason that we have such cool stuff, both programming and and on our parks end, and government buildings is because of those individuals. That's Jason Wiley and Rec, and then Austin Hull for our parks department. So they make me look good. You know, I can hang out, and they do all the work, and I get all the credit. So
they're doing a good job.
Yeah. And to kind of explain a little bit more there, we do have different budgets, and so I kind of like to share people. We do have a government buildings and grounds budget, a parks grounds budget, which is our largest budget, a memorial field budget, a park structures budget, a community hall budget, a recreation budget, and a concessions budget. So each one of those are managed with line items that are going through, and we're actually going through the budget process right now with the city council. So keep an eye on the paper with you guys to find out when the public hearings will be. And so you can, you know, if you wish to participate in the budgeting for the city. And our parks and rec staff, we have about 8 seasonal, and those go from 2.5 to 8 months. And so you can see we rely heavily on seasonal. We have 5 full-time in the parks. One administrative assistant / artist, and that's Cammy, who works in our office. And there was a feature in the newspaper recently on her artist stuff, and we're excited. She paints our recreation department booklet.
And what's her name again?
Cammy Ahmed. Cammy. She paints in her Cammy Blood.
Cammy Blood. Yeah, that's how you would see her signature on her art. Mm-hmm.
And then we have one rec supervisor. It's Jason that we discussed earlier. Part-time office assistant, and then we have over 80 rec seasonal. And so when you think about it, I mean, we have 16 to 20 lifeguards, swim instructors, concession workers, referees for sports, coordinators for sports, instructors that are by contract. And so, you know, there really is, you know, I think that when I signed the time cards last Monday, we had around 50 to 60 people. And so, you know, it really is, and it's cool because a lot of those are the people that we hire are people that's their first-time job. And, you know, the learning the work ethic and you know, out there. And so in Sandpoint, I grew up in a farming community, and it was easy to find work as a young person. But here it's a little bit more challenging. And I think that we fill a nice niche there. So it's not just, you know, we serve a purpose in giving some employment opportunities.
Absolutely.
So in the rec division, you know, in general, we have an annual spring and then spring summer booklet and then a fall winter booklet. And in general, we have youth sports, adult sports, educational programming, swim lessons, golf lessons, sailing lessons, dance lessons, youth and adult tennis lessons. Our tennis program is quite large. Youth and adult family sailing lessons, day camps, martial arts, wake surfing, and miscellaneous stuff like bike maintenance, babysitting, bridge, kayaking, alpine skiing, Nordic skiing, boating safety, archery, to name a few. Special events like we have a kayak race. We have a thing in the spring called Unplug and Be Outside, and it's really the whole thing there is to challenge families to do, and we come up with a list of things, and you can go get a punch card and get it taken care of to do things outside. And then you can come in if you do like 3 things and then turn in your thing at Parks and Rec, and then you can put in drawing for some prizes. And that's really has been, I think that's our second year last year, this next year will be our third, and it's growing. And so I'm really pleased with that. We do on fun runs, youth track meet, which is exciting, the Lou Dominski Chess Festival, I was like 23, 24 years in running, and that's an exciting thing. I remember when the very first Lou Demencey tournament, because I helped put it on. So,
what time of year does that take place?
That is, I think it's like spring breakish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and that's named after Lou Demencey, and he was a chess mentor to tons of kids.
And
right?
A very, very interesting guy. He was actually taken prisoner of war like two or three times.
In World War II, yes. He had quite a World
and I think
War II
I think he wrote a
story.
Book.
He did.
And it was, you know, to be able to spend the time with him. You know, I'm going through this, preparing for this presentation today, and I've been here 30 years. And so the stuff back, I look back, man, that's a long time ago. I remember that. It's like look in the mirror, go, that kind of explains a lot. I look at my kids and see how old they are, and it is interesting. Yeah. And so that's kind of some of the fun on the rec side, some of the stuff to maybe keep an eye on that I can kind of throw a real quick shout out for the upcoming stuff. We have a running and speed clinic at Memorial Field for ages 8 to 13-year-olds. Register by July 14th. And all these things, you can contact our office at 263-3613.
Or cityofsandpoint.com website.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
The Rails to Resort Hill Climb, July 23rd. It was actually scheduled for last weekend, and it got rained out. So that's basically get on your bike and ride up Schweitzer Mountain, which I do try to do once a week. And that's something else. You know, I love Schweitzer and all the things on top of Schweitzer, but having that mountain here is incredible to be able to ride up it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a fun thing for some of us.
It's incredible for, like, you know,
you.
The small group of people that can do that. How much elevation gain is there?
I don't know. A bunch.
It's like 3,000 feet. It's pretty steep climb.
You're tired when you get there.
Yes.
Then we have the Sandblast Beach Volleyball Tournament, July 23rd. Camps coming up, all about bugs for ages 8 to 14-year-olds. Sounds fun. Register by July 18th.
Is that a day camp?
It's like an afternoon type,
all about bugs.
Yeah, so just coming to, and the focus is about the bugs. Show camp for ages 7 to 14-year-olds. It will be August 1st through the 5th. To get registered for that one by July 25th. All about elements for ages 8 to 14, registered by the 15th. The 11th Annual King of the Concrete, August 20th, and then our youth...
That's a skateboard competition.
At our skate park, yeah. And that's that's been well attended, and the skate park is, to throw a shout out for that, it's over 10 years old, but remember, we as a community came up with $130,000 in donations to build that. So, you know, every time I drive by it, and also a real cool thing about the skate park is, you know, knock on wood, you know, we don't really get vandalized, and we don't have stickers everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. We truly is a nice family friendly, and skateboarding is more mainstream. And, you know, it is a challenge, and they're all athletes. And then it's a neat thing and it gives me, you know, gratification to go by and see so many kids playing.
Right.
At the per square inch in parks, that's probably one of our more, you know, intense.
Yeah, and that was going to be a point I was going to make. That's a really small park, but there's always people hanging out. They're young people. And as you mentioned, Kim, if you don't think they're athletes, you should go watch them, because mm-hmm. they're pulling off some very athletic feats.
When we first did the skate park, some of the guys that helped through the process, they brought me a skateboard and a bunch of pads, including a helmet and, you know, elbow pads and all that stuff, and said, okay, I'm going to try. And I went down for 4 hours, and I tried hard. But, you know, concrete is hard.
It is.
So I said, so now it's hanging on my wall in my office, the skateboard. But that's why I have a lot of respect for those people.
One of the really nice things about that skate park, and I don't know if it really speaks to who we are as a community, young families with young children bring them down there. They watch the older kids, the older adults often, do amazing things on skateboards or skates, and it's a safe place to bring young children. It's not all, I don't know what you'd call it. It's just so nice.
Well, that's what it's kind of went from a fringe type thing to mm-hmm. a very mainstream
family
oriented. And, you know, the people that were maybe fringe 20 years ago and are now family people and kids, and they all go down.
And I remember when they were building it, there was some concerns that, this is going to be a place where hoodlums hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't panned out that way at all.
And I'm really pleased with the location, having it right there on the road. We were set up for success.
It's high visibility. It's on West Pine Street as part of the Traverse Park complex.
Which is also cool because people can be seen. Mm-hmm. And they defy gravity.
And I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
It's right there, and the kids that might be out there swearing or not. Mm-hmm. They know that there's people all over the place. Yeah. And so they just focus on having a lot of fun.
And give a shout out to our young people. We have awesome young people.
We do.
We do. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think, you know, sometimes young people, you know, people stereotype this or that. But I mean, everyone that I've ever dealt with have been awesome. So, you know, we really are blessed as a community.
Mm-hmm. I even saw one day an older skateboarder showing a little tiny, tiny person how to do it and kind of took them by the hand and moved them through it. And it was really sweet.
Maybe that's what I needed.
Yeah.
kind of jumping into the, so that's kind of the recreation side of things. And so you can see we have a very diverse and a lot of offerings. And again, for a community our size, I'm very, very proud of what we do, especially for the staffing that we have.
Now, there are fees with each of these programs. Yeah,
are fees that help pay for the instructor and the cost, but we also have a scholarship program, and it's really a cool thing where we go out and solicit donations. We have people that donate every year, you know, to the scholarship fund, so it's actually dollars into an account that we then will pull out of to cover the cost, and so it's fair to everybody else. It's not like everybody who pays their fees is covering the scholarship stuff. It's a real dollars. And we have a $50 limit per booklet. Per child. And so, you know, and if there's a special case situation, the bottom line is we're never going to turn a kid away, you know, and ever, you know, for, and it's not like you have to go through a big, long process to say, hey, I deserve this. I mean, if you ask, and we say, can you please pay as much as you possibly can, you know, because we want our fund to go, and then send a thank you postcard to one of our sponsors. And so that way the sponsor gets the letter from the kid. They know where their money's going. And it's just a cool circle. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it's sustainable. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. So kind of jumping into the parks part of it, just some kind of some fun facts. We have 60-plus toilets, 24-plus urinals, 47 sinks, 130 picnic tables, 5 large playgrounds. And so, you know, when you look at our parks employees out there, those toilets and urinal sinks, they need cleaned every day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a large part of what we do is cleaning up parks and also the trash. And so that's always like a shout-out to people who use our parks to please make sure that, you know, you pick up your garbage and you're respectful of public property. And it's really important because our young people learn by example. And so if they see you respecting, you know, facilities and we do have a great population that way. And we have a big influx of visitors. We go through the 4th of July, you know, we have 2 or 3 shifts coming through the parks just to dump the garbage. There's a lot of volume of trash. So that's kind of just the fun factoid.
So what's the number of actual discrete parks that we have?
Well, we have, I'll just kind of go over here. We have about over 100 acres. And if I can have an opportunity, I can kind of briefly touch a little bit about each park. Shout out. And I would like to challenge our listeners to actually try to go and visit these parks, because I think there's a lot of parks that we probably have that you're not even aware of. And so you're missing out on all the fun.
Yeah.
You need to get out there and do that.
Hey, you know what? This is kind of the meat of the program, actually, and I want to get into that. But I'll tell you what, before we jump into a discussion of our parks, the different ones we have, and actually folks will be maybe learn a little something, find a secret park they haven't even discovered yet. Let's take a little break here. We're talking now with Kim Woodruff. He's the director of the City Parks and Recreation Department, and this is 88.5 KRFY. This little musical break actually is a song that we dredged up in honor of Kim.
And so when we're listening to this, think of me as Ron. Okay. Hint, hint.
And it's only a couple of minutes. We'll be right back, so please stay with us and see if you can identify the song. And that was the theme song from Parks and Recreation, if you didn't recognize it. That's the TV show that ran for several years with Amy Poehler. It was pretty much of a hoot in itself. And it's in honor of our guest today, who is Kim Woodruff. He's the director of the City Parks and Recreation Department. Kim, again, thanks for being back in.
Yep, that's an exciting time for me.
Yeah. We just went through a bunch of the recreation programs that the city has, and we're going to dive in now and talk about
Some of the parks. We got some outrageous parks. We do. And it's, again, we have over 100 acres of parks. Again, for a town the size of Sandpoint is quite incredible. We have our sports complex, which is a total of 32 acres. It's combined Traverse Park, Centennial Park, and Great Northern Park. And so that's kind of over on Pine Street on the west side of town. We have pathways all around it, so it's a nice, fun, and safe place to walk. We're actually working with some groups to encourage people to walk, you know, kind of what they call it from couch to curb, you know, to get out and actually, you know, and that's sometimes, you know, I really, it was an educational process for me because I just assume, you know, I think a lot of us assume that a lot of people are like we are, right? So me, Kim, individual, and I'm pretty active and stuff, but, you know, there, for whatever reasons, there are people that you know, that maybe have an opportunity to just get out and walk, and we want to make sure that we can provide a facility where we have adequate restrooms and resting spots and stuff like that to encourage, mm-hmm. because, you know, that's such a
quality. And Traverse Park has a long path that kind of circles around the outside of the park.
Yeah, we have actually loops out there. The Traverse Loop proper is 0.57 miles. The Centennial Loop, 0.38 miles. Great Northern Loop, 0.49 miles. The Traverse Centennial Great Northern Loop, so the big one, is about a mile all the way around. So you can kind of pick your loops out there. And again, we have restrooms on the way and benches on the way. And so it's a great opportunity, not just for kids and sports fields to play, but just a good place to go walk. Mm-hmm.
And
same place.
And you know what I like about that park and the walking trails is that it's got some gorgeous views, especially looking west up into the you see the foothills of the Selkirk Mountains there.
It is, and the sunsets there are incredible. And so I go there to fly kites. It's a fun place to fly kites. I got my kids got me a little radio controlled airplane, so I go there and crash it there.
But it's not intentionally.
There's pretty spectacular crashes though.
Yeah.
When games are going on, I like to go there and just watch baseball because I like watching baseball.
Yeah.
Well, the cool part is you can go through there, especially in the spring when there's only literally thousands of kids out there playing, and just walk around and watch kids play.
Yeah.
And I do that. I mean, and I watch kids playing on playgrounds. I mean, I'll have a rough day and or something happens. It's like, oh man, you know, is it worth it? And it's nice for me because I look up at my office and I can see a playground that we just recently built right across, and you see kids up there playing and climbing and smiling. It's like, man, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes on the weekend I'd ride around on my bicycle and watch the playgrounds and the kids' interaction. Probably some of the moms go, "Who's that weird dude?" But it's I get a charge out of watching that. Yeah. One of our newest playgrounds is out at the Fairgrounds Park. Mm-hmm. We built that playground and then turn it over to the fairgrounds for maintenance. But, you know, I purposely take a little jog over there to see what's happening, you know, and see the kids playing.
The kids. And also at Travers, there's two well-maintained tennis courts.
Yeah, in fact, let's jump into that. Thanks for the segue on that. We offer Travers all-access playground, and it's a relatively new playground. Baseball and softball fields, restrooms, multi-use path that we talked about. Tennis courts, we actually have a fourplex over there. Soccer, football, lacrosse, ultimate frisbee, flyer kite fields. We have portable restrooms in the winter. At Centennial Park, again, this is part of the sports complex, soccer, football, ultimate frisbee, multi-use path, wetlands, a memorial tree grove, and a Great Northern turf play, multi-use path, parking lot, and a pole building for portable toilets. And so that's kind of about our sports complex. Shifting gears a little bit to Memorial Field, that's 4.64 acres. It was added to the city park system in 1993. We offer their field lights, public art memorial, turf sports and baseball fields, grandstands, which, you know, we're kind of, maybe I'll expand that just a little bit, restrooms and concession on the grandstands. We're really excited, and Chris, you are very involved in helping us come up with the funding for the new grandstands. And I'm very pleased to announce that I will be recommending to City Council to award that contract to North Con Inc. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We had 5 people put in bids. We opened them a couple weeks ago.
5 contractors to actually build the new stadium that's going to be built there,
right.
The new grandstands.
So the new gateway and then grandstands, yep. Correct. And you know, they ranged from $3.141 million to $3.657 million. And so in Idaho, you take the lowest responsible bid, so that would be North Con again, so the $3,141,000. So we're excited about that. And, you know, again, our schedule, if for those who are not aware, the last game will be played in mid-September. Then we'll demolish between the mid-September and the end of October. And then in October, the contractor would take the project site. And then we're planning to have it done for graduation in June, I think, you know, May, June-ish of next spring. So we're excited.
And so, again, the start date on construction
would be October 1.
October 1.
The actual, we have to demolish.
Demolish, right.
And kind of a shout out to Apex Construction, a local contractor, has offered to come in for nothing and help take it down.
So, oh, no kidding.
And I think and try to engage other people. So, you know, people have been kind of, I think maybe we're going to give them some gas money, $1,000 or something, you know, for taking down the entire structure, which is, and the county has stepped up to take the debris. And so they actually went through with 7-8 months ago, and we at our request, you know, approved that. So it was a really exciting project. And so then, you know, we're trying to starting that one and just finishing up our marina project. So it's been project heavy here. And Memorial Field, I think we kind of went over that kind of stuff then.
Also at Memorial Field, that's of course is the venue for football games and for soccer,
lacrosse, the festival.
I think baseball.
The cool part is and the potential, you know, for, for future. You know, I think the performing arts are underserved. I think with the new grandstand, it's really going to and also we're going to be able to afford to go in and get a new field with the tax. So the grandstand and the gateway, you know, the first thing. And then we're going to go in and we're going to refurbish the field. And then other infrastructure, you know, maybe look at the scoreboard, stuff like that. And then hoping that we will have enough then to go and do some paving like at City Beach Park. Mm-hmm. So all from that tax. And we're very, very, you know, Jennifer, our new city administrator, has been very, very attuned to making sure that, you know, we're very, you know, to the letter of the law on what that tax is for. A perfect example is, you know, as part of the project, and we actually had an alt, you know, one and two for these bids. One of them is for a pathway in Lakeview Park and to connect the north and the south, which would be a benefit to the project. And then lighting out on the street on Ontario, there's four lights out there, but they are not directly related to what our citizens voted on. So I'll be looking for, and Jennifer will be looking for, other funding sources for that. It will not come from the sales tax. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very working hard to the citizens trusted us. That's and we're very, very sensitive to that. We want to come through with the deliverables, as many deliverables as possible, and stay very true to that, because I mean that's a lot of trust.
Oh, sure.
We had 73% people approve it.
Yeah, and so the little bit of context in case our listeners aren't familiar, this was put to a vote last October, was it? Just last fall.
Yeah,
and the residents of the city were asked to approve a 1 cent sales tax that's added on to purchase of most things in the city. And it passed by a large margin.
Yeah, I mean, we had to have like 60-some percent to pass, which, you know, is a super majority. But we had 73%, and Chris was and I was a shout-out to you. I mean, you made it happen, and it was in my personal thing.
I mean,
you
did, man. Like,
he did. I don't think it quite came down that way, but I was a supporter personally, and of course the grandstands and Memorial Field are very important to people in town. I think that large margin that it passed by is a representative of that. Well, so let me ask you, Kim, do you know yet how that sales tax is going in terms of collections? Because we were just kind of guessing at how much it would raise.
Yeah, we'll have to double check in on it. I hate to just to throw out numbers, but I think we're going to have adequate revenue, maybe just under a little bit of a million per year.
Okay.
So that'd give us around, you know, five or a little bit under.
Okay.
And which would cover, again, the grandstands and then the field refurbish. And then other infrastructure at Memorial, and then, you know, and again, we're trying to take those dollars and then supplement them with the foundation monies and grants monies, and try to make those dollars go as far as possible. Again, you know, showing our citizens that supported that funding mechanism, that we're truly stewards. Mm-hmm. And it really is almost like it's very sacred to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trust and it was almost overwhelming when we had that much support. It's like, wow.
Okay. And I do want to ask one more question along the funding line. Is that I know that a lot of folks prior to the decision to go out and ask for public funding were supporting it with donations. It's particularly, they were buying bricks that were going to be inscribed with their names to show their support for that. Yeah. What's happened? What's the status there?
The bricks program will be a little bit changed at the last minute on some of the gateway stuff. We had originally had the recognition bricks on the wall as you enter. We went for the more open feel for that entrance with citizen input, mostly neighbors.
Yeah, the neighbors asked scaled down the original entry idea. Yeah.
And I think it's going to be turn out well, but we'll have some two seating walls as you enter. So, and I think that, you know, we do have a few spots left, not very many. And so if it's something that, you know, that you were interested in, and you can contact the Friends of Memorial. They're still the one that they're organizing that fundraising effort. But I mean, we're going through awarding contracts, and that's part of the contract. So there's a finite number of them. When we're done, and then we'll go through. Not to say there can't be another wall built or bench built down the line, but right now,
the program is only like 20 or so bricks that would still be available.
That's it. Yeah. So if that's something you're interested, that definitely give us a call, and we can try to hook you up. Switching parks
so
a little bit.
So we're going back to hearing about all the parks. I just looked at the list, and there's some really cool parks. So, yeah, let's finish hearing about all the cool parks. One of them, by the way, is Hickory Park, I think is really sweet.
Yeah, we have a bunch of real cool parks.
Yeah.
Ninth Grade Center is next on my list. It's 1.54 acres, and that's the one that some people call Dubs Field.
And that's the one where the community garden is.
It is. Yeah. Okay. And that's added to our city parks in 1991. We have small baseball field and turf area for play. And then, as you had mentioned, Susie, the community garden is located there. And what a cool thing that is.
Mm-hmm. And that's for anybody that wants to grow some vegetables. They
shout out to Pat Wentworth, our organizer. She's such a cool person and really, truly is able to maintain the community. The community garden started as separate from the city. And it was through the East Sandpoint Transition Initiative. And so that was started, and then that kind of went through some growing, and the garden shifted over to the city. And my big concern was that a lot of times when people think it's the city, then they just drop away as community, and well, the city can do this, the city can do that. But, you know, the city, it's the people. That's what the city is. And so, and Pat's been able to take that community garden part and keep the community in the forefront. So,
and it's just neat to drive by and see all the verdant vegetables that are growing there.
There's a lot. It's a nice place to go and walk through. Mm-hmm. But as Pat would tell you when she's a guest on Garden Talk here, don't pick other people's vegetables, but just really appreciate the beauty of
they
vegetables.
They do have some plots there that they manage for the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
There's six of them or something.
And in fact, the Business Improvement District sponsors a couple of those spots, so that's cool. Pine Street Park is 1.93 acres. That's 1114 Lake Street. There we have Little League's baseball, softball, turf play area, ADA drinking fountains and pad for viewing baseball area, basketball courts, playground, ADA accessible, and portable restroom that we talked about.
And I'll say for Pine Street Park, that is like basketball central, especially in the spring, early summer.
Especially right before Hoop Fest. Yeah. I always see Chris over there.
I see all these guys.
Yeah. Well, the young guys get there.
And young guys and girls. Yeah. More and more girls.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And they're pickup games. Anybody can go and play. And they're really democratic about it. You go they shoot up teams. Mm-hmm. So it's not like my team, your team. You go, and if you make your foul shot, you're going to be on the team. And if you don't make your foul shot, then you get first dibs on the next game. So
what's really cool, my son played for 4 years there. Mm-hmm. And now when he comes back, he has to go back and play a little bit of a pickup game or something because it's so nostalgic and it's such a great place.
And that's the location where we have the one of our newer playgrounds right across the street that I can look out of my office and charges me up during the day.
So absolutely.
Shout out to the playgrounds. Our passive and pocket parks, we have Hickory Street Park, 812 Hickory Street. It's 2.29 acres, opened in 2003. We have a picnic shelter, picnic tables, basketball court, skateboard feature, playground, off-street parking, and ADA portable restrooms. So that's a park that maybe some of you are not aware of. And so, again, on Hickory Street, 812 Hickory, drive by and check it out. It's really a cool community park. Lakeview Park, which is over next to Memorial Field, the address is 901 Ontario Street, is 12 acres. It was a former site of the playgrounds, or the fairgrounds, before they moved out to the north of town. It was developed as a park in 1978-79. There we have two picnic shelters, a boat launch, picnic tables, pedestal barbecues, tennis and basketball courts, restroom, public art, playground, boat launch, walking path, and ADA restroom. And then here's kind of this big one of the secrets. There's a carved bear in the tree in Lakeview Park.
Oh,
if you can find call me, because it's fairly well hidden. We purposely don't tell people
about
where
it's big is it?
Yeah, it's probably 2 or 3 feet tall.
No kidding. Oh. Okay, all right.
It's in the trees. It's
treasure hunt
treasure
for the bear.
Hunt.
Okay.
You know, if I haven't seen it in like 4 years, I assume it's still there.
Kim's challenge of the day.
He's that hidden, yeah. City Beach, everybody's favorite.
That's like the crown jewel, I have to say.
That's the crown jewel.
That's pretty sweet.
For us and the geese. And so...
Yeah,
we'll get there.
The
later, that's a whole issue on its show on its own. City Beach, it's 22.1 acres, so it's quite large. It's it's 102 Bridge Street is the official address, not that people need an address to know where it came from. The park was donated to the city from a Northern Pacific Railroad in 1922, and I actually have done some studying on that lease, and it was sold to the city for $1. With the caveat that if it's ever used for anything but recreation, it goes back to the railroad. Oh. So that's from
park
and rec. We're
all
locked
right.
in, baby.
That's nice.
And I would feel very sorry for the person that went in there and wanted to ever sell it or develop it commercially, because it is such a dear and Sandpoint. You know, so I mean, there's a few places that define community in Sandpoint to me. Mm-hmm. Memorial Field's one of them, you know, tangible place, and City Beach the other one. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
that's very
cool.
True.
And so there we have restrooms both at the South and North Beach, freshwater shower and foot bath, ADA portable restrooms in the winter, snack shack, Marsha's Snack Shack, recently renovated, picnic shelter or freestanding barbecue pits, boat launch, playground, tennis, volleyball, and basketball courts, horseshoe pits, swim areas, two of them, the north and south, that are both guarded in season, two marinas in proximity. We have the one marina right at City Beach and then the Windbag, multi-use path, parking lot, and public art. So there's a lot going on there. And then plus just go and take your towel, lay on the sand, take a nap. That's one of my favorite things to do. Yeah. All right.
After you ride up to Schweitzer.
Yeah. Then you need a nap. Farm and Park, which is right in town where the farmer's market is. It's 3rd and Main Street. It's about a quarter of an acre. And donated by the farmer, farm and family back in the early years. I actually did some research on this. And I believe there were some strings attached to this property as well, as long as it stays in public recreation. That was, you know, part of it. And look at, you know, a lot of people back in the day had that vision. To realize that some of these properties might become valuable, and then people will be tempted. So they did put those caveats, mm-hmm. and I'm thankful for that. There we have barbecue pedestals, the clock tower, public art, a new bandstand that was donated by Rotary, and probably we've had people throughout the United States call me on that bandstand. There was a volunteer effort, Suarez Engineering and Hendrix Architecture team, and working with Rotary, and it's probably a $300,000 structure. Mm-hmm. When you look at the poles on that building, it's supported by poles. There's like with the part above ground, there's like three times more of that driven into the ground. It's a very heavy structure, and I think every time I look at it, I know how big those poles were that went in there. And it's cool because you don't have to paint it. It's all steel, mm-hmm. It's made to rust, and then
creates a patina
by design. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's neat.
Very great design, and I think the acoustics, somehow the design of it and the engineering brought really great acoustics there.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
And there's music in there every Saturday at Farmer's Market.
And Wednesday.
And Wednesdays.
Sunday afternoon. Jesse Warburton's been working with our department to do some concert action.
Actually, there was one last Sunday, and we went by, and there – somebody was playing some loud rock.
Well, no, that was the one that those guys that are awesome. I can't remember who they were.
Yeah.
But they every year they want to play in the park, and this doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
So they partner with us,
yeah.
and we go hook them up, and they go for it, and that's their annual party time.
Yeah.
We have a kind of moving on, 3rd Avenue Pier, which is South 3rd. This might be another kind of a hidden park that people are unaware of. It was developed in 1995, and it was actually built to manage a navigation hazard. That used to be a sewer outfall structure on that. And it was just during high water, it was just barely underwater. You couldn't see it. So the city went in and put a big cap on it and turned it into a recreation area. There we have picnic tables, benches, a swimming area, but no lifeguards. City Hall, we manage. City moved to that location in 1994. Really, who cares about City Hall? Community Hall.
You got to go there and pay your water bill. Come on.
Yeah, but you're coming to see me. That's the other part. And my door is always open because I'm passionate about what I do and I love to talk about it. And I can talk a lot. Community Hall is kind of a cool place. It's 0.7 acres, constructed by the USO in 1936. And then in 1945, 850 square feet were added by the Scouts. And so this is kind of what we refer to as the Scout Room. Mm. Which has Scout stuff in it,
mm-hmm.
And a shout out to the Scouts. I'm actually an Eagle Boy Scout, and so they're dear to my heart. And it's and the scouting program is an excellent opportunity, I think, is for kids. And there we have in the community hall a kitchen, which reservations can be made for to reserve that in the rooms. A large meeting room, two small meeting rooms, restroom, hardwood floors. And I'm pleased to announce that we just added air conditioning. So in the it used to be quite warm in there during August, and now with the air conditioning, we're looking at some of the activities that were in there, the dances, things like that, that maybe would take the August off because of the heat. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that that'll – and again, the wooden floor, I'm always pleased when the wooden floor wears out and we have to pay a bunch of money to refurbish it because that means a lot of people are in there playing. Mm-hmm. So again, I look at things a little bit differently. It's not about when you go to a park or building or something. It's like if it's getting worn out – and looking a little tattered, there's a reason for it. And that means people are playing. And so then we can go in and fix them up.
People are loving it, right?
People are loving it. Also kind of an interesting one, we have an outdoor shooting range. That's about 6 acres. It's up on Baldy. The actual address is 113 Turtle Rock Road. It was originally built in 1957 with major improvements in 1990. And this is one of the ones that, I was looking back on, I was actually involved with those 1990 improvements in the pole building and the development. It's extremely popular with our shooting population. Shooting is a great recreational sport, and we have a lot of people that participate in that. And so it's very affordable. You can get a season pass for it's dirt cheap, or you can go up day use. It's like $5-$6, something like that.
Are there, because there's not that many neighbors up there, or if the neighbors, is that a consideration with shooting range?
The range was there along before, and then the people who developed and built houses around that, actually in the development there, signed an understanding that the range was there. Mm-hmm. So, and we actually do try to work very hard with our neighbors.
If there's
a special function or a wedding or something like that,
and
they call it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, we're neighbors. In fact, every one of our parks, that we think about, I look at it as like I live in that park and everybody around there is my neighbor. And so mm-hmm. that's how I try to manage our parks. If we're going to do an improvement or a change or something, try to get a hold of the neighborhood. I could have done a better job on the Memorial Field one. I didn't really engage the neighborhood. That was the lesson I took away from that whole
memorial. Prior to the issue coming up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that one that opened my eyes. And so everything that happens like that, I try to say, what can I learn from this? And that's what I learned from that.
Mm-hmm. So your neighbor Kim.
Neighbor Kim. Exactly. So that's a shooting range. There we have 14 covered shooting lanes and benches, a pole barn structure, indoor storage and range master's office, emergency telephone, and ADA accessible parking and portable toilet. We have a bunch of volunteer range masters, and shout out to those people who make that our shooting opportunities fun and safe. I get a lot of compliments from people that are up there, complimenting our range masters. It's because we're safe, but it's also very structured. So that's kind of, we have a bunch of trails and undeveloped parks, like the Sand Creek Landing down there. Mm-hmm. Lineal feet is actually 0.69 acres, and that's down on Sand Creek.
I'm looking at pictures of every single one of the parks. It's amazing, actually, how many I didn't even know about, such as the one at Sand Creek Multi-Use Trail. I didn't know it was part of the city,
but it's
a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And that bike path goes all the way out to Yokes
It
now.
Does. And, and the city manages under an agreement with that's kind of with the trade-offs. Say, hey, we can build a nice byway. Mm-hmm. And I look at it truly as a park, a linear park with a road through it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I view it a little bit differently than a byway. I look at it as a park. and there's a lot of people that use it. The cool part there is on the west, you've got the paved area all the way out. And on the other side, you've got the Ponderay Bay Trail. Mm-hmm. And that's another one of ours is the Humbird Bay Park, that the city owns, and then the two purchases.
Now, the Humbird Park hasn't really been developed much yet,
No, it actually has.
It has.
And the reason it has.
And that's right at the start of the trail, basically.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's kind of probably as developed as it's going to be. And that was brought about by the Friends of the Bay Trail.
Mm-hmm.
The city bought those two properties, but we didn't have enough financial resources to build and maintain that. And so the Friends of the Bay Trail came to the city and said, hey, if we build it and maintain it, can we do it? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, go, heck yeah. So, mm-hmm. and that's where that, and they've been very involved in building on that and to maintain it. And so what an awesome group, the mm-hmm. Friends of the Bay Trail.
Great partnership.
Oh, yeah. And
to talk about well-used, man. To do a shout-out for that trail, that was another big project that was a public-private collaboration, really, because the Friends of the Ponderay Bay Trail raised money to buy one chunk of it. Ponderay right. bought a chunk of it. Sandpoint
bought two chunks
of it.
Right.
And it stretches, what, 1.2 miles?
Yeah, I can't remember the, because I always, to my mind, everything's up to city limits.
Yeah, yeah.
And so even though I walk it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And it's fun.
But
so.
But it's a gorgeous walk along the lake. If anybody that's listening has not done the Ponderay Bay Trail, you should do it. And it's very easy. It's totally flat. It's right along the lake. It's it's right. Rivals City Beach, in my mind, is one of the gems of our
And also, I would suggest that people try the Mickinac Trail. And that trailhead is city owned.
Wow.
So that, you know, go up there, and if you like to, if you want to work out,
yeah.
if you get through the meadow,
right now, there's huckleberries up there.
And there's gorgeous wildflowers as well. And, mm-hmm. and that trailhead is accessed just 2 miles from downtown. A little bit west of town.
You know, the website is amazing. Every single one of those parks is on there, except for the Manikinik. You can go to the website at thecityofsandpoint.com, Parks and Recreation, and you can find it. Everything, it's amazing how much detail is in your little spot on that website.
Well, and our staff, I mean, we do like the right-of-ways on Fifth Avenue. You know, mm-hmm. you look around the roundabout. Every time, everywhere there's some stuff that's developed and maintained, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. The city's doing it. So uh-huh. that's where, you know, somebody does that stuff. Everyone, you're walking around and driving, you know, the garbage is picked up, it's mowed, it's trimmed. Uh-huh. Somebody's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Parks and Rec.
It's the Parks and Rec.
And I'll throw out a mention of another major recreational piece that the city is collaborating on. That's the Watershed Crest Trail. And actually, it was a program on that yesterday here at KRFY in the morning show. And if you missed that, you can hear it on our website at carefy.org. It's definitely worth listening to because that trail, it's going to be a mountain bike trail that circles around the Sand Points City watershed.
I think watershed. That's going to be a huge draw from people from far, far away, just the opportunity to do that. And just it's going to be, it's cool.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff that's happened in the last 30 years.
It's being designed for mountain bikes to ride it, mm-hmm. and it'll be a challenging ride, but... Yeah. It's going to attract, you know, mountain bikers that travel around and form vacations around finding good places to ride.
With all of this information that you've brought, Kim, thank you very much. One of the things that came to my mind, if I had a family gathering and I wanted to go use one of the parks and have a baseball game with a family baseball game, do you need to contact the parks, or if it's empty, you can just use the field?
It's first come, first serve. Okay. If you wish to have a reservation, for example, you're having a family reunion, you want to have a picnic at City Beach Shelter, and you have people coming from all over, and you want to make sure that you have the spot, you can come in and reserve our picnic shelters. And so just on our website, there's the information there. Call our office at 263-3613. And so we have picnic shelters in several parks, you know, Lakeview, Sports Complex, Beach. And reservations there, like, you know, $60 if you're out of town, $50 if you live in town for the day. So very, very reasonable. But otherwise, again, it's first come, first serve. So if it's not posted, you know, and it's cool because people seem to share space. I mean, Sandpoint is sharing in a cool town that way.
So even one of the baseball fields, such as Memorial Field or Lakeside Park, you could go in there and use that baseball field.
Yeah, you just go play.
If no game is going on.
Yeah.
And if a game is.
And if somebody
doesn't
have
up,
it reserved, uh-huh. they have reserved to get first dibs. But
sure.
if you just show up and put
together
a game.
We do ask if you show up at a park on a field and there's fresh lines, it's probably because there's a game that evening. So we ask you to maybe steer clear of the lines. But they're public parks and public places. They're made to be played on. And so, you know, it's gratifying for me when people are using and playing in our areas that our taxpayers provide. And again, a shout out, really the huge shout out to our taxpayers for providing parks, you know, for our area. You know, it's not fair that, you know, the citizens of Sandpoint pay for a park system that's used by tourists and all. But, you know, it's the way that we can do that.
It increases the quality of life for all the city citizens.
Time.
So we're running out of time, but there was one question I wanted to get to, and that's what about the geese at City Beach?
I've got a file 3 inches thick on geese.
Yeah.
They're wonderful. The geese, when I was there, I don't know, last week or something, there was a big cluster of them kind of in front of the windbag.
Yeah.
And I know that they'll range around when it's not quite as active there and, you know, leave their calling cards all over the place. What's the city doing this season?
We've been really hard to work on that. We have a sand cleaner that was purchased for the sole reason, and that was, again, purchased with donations. That was like $23,000. And it also, you know, this when you go down and you see the sand, it's groomed out there. It's like freshy. It's like when you're skiing corduroy, like you're the first person on it. It's funny because that's what the sand looks like. Mm-hmm. So you see the guys out running around. My wife actually did it last time. So now running around. And it's just kind of a fun draw. We also have a turf sweeper that we purchase with donations. And that goes around and kind of picks up the droppings. You know, probably the next thing we'd be able to do there would be probably an upgrade to like a $50,000 vacuum sweeper. Mm-hmm. You know, but right now it's, you know, we're trying to do the best we can with what we have. We also work with Randy Curlis, who has a dogs trained specifically to encourage the geese not to be there. And that's like a $2,000 or $3,000 investment that we have working with him.
So he comes out during the middle of the day
with his dogs. Right.
And then chases them off.
They're a very special breed of dog to herd and get the geese and make them not comfortable in that spot. So. You know, it's an ongoing challenge, the geese. Different communities have done different things. We're trying to be as aggressive and progressive as we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as I mentioned, we're getting close to the end of the show here. Are there any last words you want to throw out to people?
This
is Kim Woodruff, our City Parks and Rec Director.
Really, take it. Here's my big shout out is to really take it. Look at your day and from when you wake up to go to sleep. And then for a couple of days, try to go in and track your time. So, you know, you're eating breakfast and you're doing blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, you go to work. But then there's times in there when you can insert a change or a challenge or something to bring you joy. You know, I find myself sometimes I'll go home and you turn on the TV to watch the news and then, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I just watched three shows. How'd that happen? You know, if I went home and said, you know what, I'm going to plan to watch 3 hours TV right now. I mean, that's fine. I'm not knocking TV. But I think it's about being aware and recognize that you have limited time because you know what? You can't get time back. It's gone. So live it up. And we live in a great place for it and with cool people to do it. So
good philosophy there. Kim Woodruff, Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Sandpoint. And I just have to say, it's one of the things that makes Sandpoint so wonderful. You're doing a great job. Thanks for your passion for what you do.
Thanks so much. And shout out to my crew. So
right. Yeah. And we want to remind our listeners that this is 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And tomorrow on The Morning Show, Jim and Jack Peterson, Jim Healy, their guests will be the Festival at Sandpoint Executive Director Dinah Wall with an update on this year's festival season. And I think it will be worth tuning in, just believe me. And that's at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yes. And what else do we need to tell our listeners here before we sign off?
Just to have a beautiful day and enjoy the sunshine and a little bit of rain, hopefully, for the gardens. And you probably have a song for us.
Well, actually, we're going to go out with an appropriately titled song by Josh Ritter. He's an Idaho musician. It's called Wild Goose. We were just talking about geese at City Beach. So thank you, everybody, for listening today. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All that I've learned, sometimes wells run dry, it don't matter.